other cartels.
I want to thank you so much for your work, for your bravery. Have a safe journey home. Annabel Hernandez, her book is called Narcoland. That does it for our show. We have job openings at Democracy Now! Check them at democracynow.org. Happy birthday to Jessica Lee and Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
It's WHFR, Dearborn. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. And today is September 27th, 2013, the last Friday in September, the last WHFR Journal in September. Couple things really quickly at the top of the hour. I am joined here in the studio with our WHFR News Director, Dennis Reimars. So welcome, Dennis.
Thank you. It's nice to be indoors this week. We had a great time last week outside, but it's a little less complicated in here.
Enough is enough of that wind and sun and threat of thunderstorms. Yeah, but a lovely day today, so don't worry about it, folks. Dennis is going to tell us about a couple of Dearborn Heights stories, especially because he's frequently in the city out there.
Well, I have to drive through on my way to Dearborn.
I know, at least that. Although also part of the cable television team over there in city government. Today, though, if you're planning a party and you are an alcoholic imbiber or just want to support a good cause with a soft drink, party at the Dearborn Historical Museum is today, Friday, September 27th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the McFadden Ross House, which is right there is it Brady Street? That first street west, Brady Street and Michigan Avenue. At 9:15, Brady, if you had to put that into your GPS. It says, Think and Drink, Wine and Wine, that's W-H-I-N-E, at the Dearborn Historical Museum's Beer Barbecue Fundraiser. Now, tickets are only $9, including admission and a glass mug. They give you your own glass mug. Ooh. Live entertainment by a group called 80s Incorporated. And they also provide one free glass of, in your free glass, one free filling of your glass of beer, wine, or root beer. And designated drivers, that is, you have to designate yourself, receive free non-alcoholic beverages because there is beer tasting. They have at least two different craft beers, maybe three. Looking here, I'm not sure. It's at least two or three companies that are providing the beverages. And after that first freebie, though, you have to pay for the beverages after that. But there's also food you can buy. Detroit Barbecue Company will offer ribs, pulled pork, brisket, chicken, turkey, and hand-cut French fries.
Yum.
Yeah, and that's all at extra cost. But they're trying to raise a little money here, okay? This is the first official fundraising for the Dearborn Historical Museum, whose funding is reduced to $50,000, $59,000 a year. I think that's for the part-time curator of the museum. I said in the past, and on this show I want to correct it, that the city has stopped all funding. That's not true.
Right.
It's still this little pittance, which is not enough at all, $59,000. Now, they do point out that there is a Lillian Ross. Any connection to the McFadden Ross people? Anyway, Lillian Ross Foundation that has something like $800,000 sitting in it, and they can use that.
Wow.
And so that's what the city council basically said. Well, hey, just use that for a while, okay, like forever, until it's gone. And let's not bring up city support anymore. Well, of course, when a foundation grant is gone, it's gone forever. Can you live on the interest? I don't know if they have it invested for interest or not. But nonetheless, if you want to support the Dearborn Historical Museum and have time to talk to people in Dearborn and eat food and just have a good time, you don't have to really drink and do the beer tasting if you choose not to. Check out the Dearborn Historical Museum tonight, Friday, September 27th, from 5 to 11 p.m. They also point out that I think there's free parking at the Ford Field. in West Dearborn, and there's a shuttle that's going to run. I don't see that here. Oh, free parking. Yeah, I do see it here. Free parking at the museum. That's a small lot. And Ford Field. And they have a free shuttle service running to and from Ford Field. And that is from 5 to 11 p.m. tonight. So a fun time can be had by all. And come and support the Dearborn Historical Museum. No thanks to the city council, of course. They have fallen on hard times.
Yeah.
So let's see what we can do there.
You know, and then would you say 59,000? I think my I'm not registering here. I think down there.
Oh, you're registering with me, Dennis.
No, I mean down right here. It's not the hello. A little bit more.
Well, you can.
I'm up all the way. It doesn't matter. You said 59. Now you're going to be really loud. $59,000, and that goes to the part-time curator. Isn't that why for quite a long period the hours that the place is open were really? I mean, it was closed a heck of a lot more than it was open, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how the hours have changed. I know that it's, as I mentioned last Friday, right next to the Bryant Library, that the public library hours have been cut for years. And then they turn around and say, well, attendance is down. Users don't use the libraries as much as they used to. Well, of course, you cut back on the hours and the days. So how can you figure that? You know, that doesn't make any sense at all. So I don't want to hear that about the museum.
Exactly.
I think the museum could be just open maybe for special events. But, hey, tourists in Dearborn, when we get the train station here, I think we've got to keep the museum open. It's not that far, a short walk from the from the new train station. And sort of at the eastern edge of the shopping district in West Dearborn. So as much as we can have for, and let's not forget that the Bryant Library is a little bit further down, and that's where the Welcome Center is. So people will be coming down the street here, and I think Historical Museum may get some tourists in.
I have to think you're right.
The home of Henry Ford, for Pete's sake. We should get some people coming in to look around, and especially to find out about, I think, Henry Ford.
Well, if you're here to see Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford or the Henry Ford anyway, that makes sense that it'll be part of your sightseeing.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, I mean, they might not spend all day there, but I'm just saying that it's important to have it open for the next couple of years, as many hours as possible, certainly right after the train station begins its service there, and we'll see where that goes. So the city shouldn't pull the plug on it, even the 59,000, and it's just not right to have the nest egg disappear quickly.
And kudos to sounds like a really well thought out fundraiser. You know what I mean? Even with the shuttles and everything, this seems like really well done.
They have some sponsors. There is some sort of afterglow at the Double Olive Martini Bar. So after you've been drinking for 6 hours,
go drink some more.
Then you go have a couple martinis to top it off after 11 o'clock.
Well, you have the DD there with you.
Yeah. But anyway, so party at the Dearborn Historical Museum. That's scheduled for tonight. And we think it's something to do with the family, even if you don't want to partake in the alcoholic beverage part. Again, it's $9 a person. And it doesn't say there's any discount for anybody, any ages in particular. But then the extra food and significant beverage consumption is extra. Okay. Moving on. You probably, if you cover the news and have nothing better to do for the last 4 or 5 hours, at least with radio and maybe TV, in the New York Times just this morning, $300 million federal money has been announced in Detroit aid. But it's not a bailout, folks. It's just part of combined federal and private aid toward a Motown comeback that is not the record company. It's money that federal government would normally kick back to different cities to clear and redevelop blighted properties, improve transportation systems, bolster the police and overhaul city management systems wrecked by years of poor administration and inadequate resources. A question that came up this morning on the Craig Folly Show about this was, who's going to manage this money? Kevin Orr? Or the mayor? Or city council? They don't really have any power anymore. Mm-hmm. So who's going to be in charge of this $300 million? It's a little bit scary, I have to admit, that it really shouldn't be, we shouldn't receive it if we're not very clear on who's going to take charge of it. Since there have been, and this is the other story in the New York Times today, the last couple of days, you've perhaps seen that there's been various inappropriate payments out of the City of Detroit Pension Fund. that the benefits are exceptional, quote unquote. Although I would always want my benefits to be exceptional. But nonetheless, they said to promote loyalty. That's why they had the exceptional benefits. In other words, maybe you wouldn't stay in Detroit for years and years and retire there, you know, all that experience and good service, if the benefits weren't so good. And now...
It's a motivator, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. Although, well, and so what's happened is that this morning, Kevin Orr, the emergency manager for Detroit, said he's going to freeze the city's pension system for public workers in light of mounting evidence that it was operated in an unsound manner for many years. So 33,000 workers and retirees who have been promised this exceptional benefit packages are probably not going to get them all. They do say it's going to probably not affect as much the people who are already on pensions, but certainly those that aren't taking pensions will get an awful lot less when they do retire. And, of course, the challenge will come up, can an emergency financial manager decide to just, you know, undercut or get rid of pension plans? And I think that this will lead immediately to that legal challenge, and that has to be cleared up legally anyway, about whether or not the pensions are on the table, off the table, under the table, whatever. So anyway, that's the update from the New York Times. You know, I'm sure it'll be on the major media for the next couple days because weekends are usually slow anyway. So there you go. Also looking at top stories here in Dearborn, we had a couple of events this week that one happened last night. It was a What Changed in School Funding public forum that the League of Women Voters Dearborn-Dearborn Heights held at the Tenike Dearborn Public Schools Administrative Center. And we don't know the outcome of that. There haven't been a story or a coverage. I didn't make it over there. Dennis didn't make it over there. So we don't know, but it's probably just the fact that Michigan is not supporting the local districts as much as they used to. Our Senator Morris W. Hood III was there, George Durini was there, and Dave Kinesick from the 11th District was also there making their comments. Brian Winston was there, who we talked to 2 weeks ago on this show in detail about the public schools. I would hope that there is a video of that that you could watch. Now, the other event happened last Monday night, and it was a forum for Dearborn council officials, for the council primarily.
It wasn't
really in a debate, but of all the 14 candidates, with the exception of Councilman Mark Shushanian, did attend the forum. So 13 out of 14. And questions from the audience or from someone were volleyed about. Okay, and for example, the pending sale of City Hall to ArtSpace, about government transparency and business growth. Candidates were given 30 seconds,
wow,
up to a minute, to respond to moderator Linda DePorter.
So that means no,
no in-depth answers at all. It's just a lot of sound bites.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and most of them probably pre-planned.
But if you do want to see and hear that event, they did videotape it, mm-hmm, and again, I don't think 30 seconds to a minute is valuable enough information. Maybe you can tell by looking at their eyes. If they do a close-up, a video close-up on the face, maybe you can tell if they're blinking or looking off to the side, they're lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can't see their sweaty palms.
That's right.
Maybe on their
forehead. Unless the Tenex Center roof is still leaking on them while they're talking, and they're blinking to keep the water.
No, because they have buckets and pails in place.
That's right. Yeah, they think ahead of
that.
We
should not joke about that.
Yeah,
it's not funny.
It's not funny. There's comments here in the story on patch.com. So go to dearborn.patch.com, and you can read about the candidate debate. And it is on, the forum is on CDTV in Dearborn, so it's repeated several times a day. And if you want to know the exact schedule, you can go to cityofdearborn.org, and it's on their website what the CDTV schedule is for that. There's also the times are posted on League of Women Voters Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, which is LWVDDH, League.org.
League Women Voters, Dearborn Heights.
That's right.
That's awesome.
.org. And the tape, you can actually play it directly from cdtv.pegcentral. P-E-G? And what was it? Y-P-E-G? I don't know. Pegcentral.com. I think that's a website that they just rent. The city
probably
has their own account there.
I think it's
Peg Central.
Like a server.
Right. It's a server somewhere. So, and I tried that, and it wouldn't play. So,
you know, I do want to say this wonderful that they had an opportunity to do this in Dearborn. You know, in Dearborn Heights, they did not have an opportunity to get the people together, council and or officially the mayoral candidates. But I know that they had an association, a neighborhood association meeting last Thursday, and about 100 people turned out for a, I won't call it a debate, but a discussion between the current Mayor Pletko of Dearborn Heights and his challenger, Councilwoman Janet Badalow. Now, that said, we've talked about this before. The Dearborn Press and Guide website, starting the very beginning of October, so probably at some point next week, will be airing a series of up to three-minute videos of candidates in both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. We talked about that on the show. Far less people took advantage of that than I thought would. I mean, it was a really good opportunity. It was free. I do show up on the designated days. So the website does have the people that did participate in that, and that'll be going up at some point, probably the end of next week.
One of the interesting topics, though, that is in Patch.com story about that event on Monday night among the candidates for city council, is government transparency. In other words, have the elected officials been forthcoming and in giving a lot of details about events? And two people said that Mayor John B. O'Reilly's office have been great at maintaining communication with the public. And one of them, this is very surprising, Tom Tefelski. He said, I can honestly say that the city council gets involved in transparency.
Well, if you're going to agree with the mayor, you might as well.
He does a great job, but he's never said the mayor did a great job. He's criticized the mayor time and time before for years about not being transparent. Although, if you're transparent, then nobody can see you, right?
Yeah.
You have to be at least translucent.
Exactly.
Yeah, but transparent, it can't see you at all. Oh, well. The real issue, he says, is that people do not get involved until it's almost too late. Oh, so it's not the fault of government. It's you people out there that don't get involved. Okay, I thought our government was elected by us so that they could be our involvement.
Yeah, but
No, they don't represent us, I guess. That's what Tom's saying. Tom, that philosophy is kind of backwards when you think about it. You are our involvement. Okay, yes, the public needs to know to reelect you, but I'm just saying, I'm realistic. Representative government doesn't really happen that way, folks.
No, exactly.
If you just vote for a candidate and say, well, let them handle it, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, they need constant monitoring and advice and counseling
education
from you.
Sure.
From you,
yep.
Anybody that cares. So our probably number one local activist, Kristen Taylor, who we've interviewed on the show, who's running for city council, she totally disagreed with, it was actually incumbent Abraham as well as Tefelski, whose first name is Thomas. She said the information is not always provided in a timely manner for residents to digest. And I like that word digest because often this information needs to be chewed a lot. You can't just swallow it whole.
No, and the reality is sometimes you need more information to be able to digest the original information.
Kristen Taylor's local group is called Dearborn Residents for Accountability. And that says it all. If you're not accountable, you're not transparent.
DRFA.
Yeah.
All the way.
So anyway, that forum is out there. With 30 seconds, excuse me, that's no good. That's really no good. But maybe, again, you can see the sweat on their foreheads or you can see them blinking or choking up at certain things, and maybe that'll make the difference when you have to vote for them.
Hey, I go to these council meetings all the time. The best thing to do while somebody's speaking is look at the other people's reactions.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. If they're asleep, that's probably not good.
Well, yeah, that's only happened once, so we don't want to talk about that.
Right. And the next best thing, and Dennis, you mentioned this, but the time is over. I just don't know when it's going to happen, and I didn't see it in the papers. The Dearborn Press and Guide had given opportunities for all 27 local candidates, including Dearborn Heights, to record 3 minutes of video.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there, talking head, 3 minutes. What are they going to do with it? Is it on their website?
Yes, it'll be starting, as I just said.
Because last night was the last chance.
Exactly.
In Southgate. You had to drive all the way to Southgate to get recorded.
No, all the way. That's,
well, it's 20 minutes, sure, at least.
But if you're running and you have an opportunity like this for free, it's worth the drive, I would think.
Right.
They will begin to air, they said, the beginning of October, so the first week of October. At some point, maybe toward the end of next week, and it will be on the website.
Okay,
but like I said, so far fewer people took advantage of it than I expected.
They said 13 out of 27, but that was before. This is the paper when it went to press on Wednesday, and so maybe there was a rush of other candidates yesterday on the last day.
I looked online yesterday, and I thought they had a final count. It may have been more than 13.
Well, you know, I've already criticized 30 seconds to 1 minute sound bites. 3 minute sound bites are better, but they're still not that good. Really, yeah, because people will say things that are general. Some of them will probably say nothing but general. I love America. I love my parents. I love Dearborn. Vote for me. Well, that means, I mean, love is a great thing.
Right.
I love love.
Sure.
Anybody that says they don't love love,
they're haters.
Doesn't leave anything. Yeah,
right.
They nothing left but hate. Nonetheless, 3 minutes is better than 30 seconds. And then again, there's the WHFR Journal. Dennis has pointed out that in terms of the challenger,
mm-hmm,
we have interviewed Binkley is a challenger, but so it's all but two of the council candidates, council challenger,
exactly,
candidates. If you don't know the incumbents, folks, okay, don't vote for them. If you don't know anything about them or what they stand for,
right,
after all the time they've been in office, then definitely you don't vote for them. I mean, it just makes sense to me, but of course all the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College.
Though we certainly hope so.
Well, maybe. Okay. So, but if you look back, go to WHFR.fm, our website, click on Talk Show button right in the middle of the page, Talk Shows, then you click on WHFR Journal, which is this show,
right,
and then it's clearly indicated, I've updated the site, so for different dates, I put the names of the candidates that we've interviewed, just like last week with Sharon Damage.
Yep.
At the last minute, didn't get on the website, but it's in the list of podcasts. Sharon Damage was interviewed last week. And before that, you want to find out about the Dearborn K-12 school system and their funding issues. Brian Winston and Dave Mustin are not candidates, but certainly that issue comes up in November about the millage for them. And they were interviewed 2 weeks ago. So Brian Winston is listed there. And before that, all the other variety of candidates.
Dr. Stan Jensen. We've interviewed. We've got some pretty good interviews on.
Right. Although we hope to maybe have someone from the college before the November election,
mm-hmm,
to talk about the millage. Again, we can't be advocating either millage, but we can give information, you know, and that's what we do here. But it's technically against our FCC license for a non-commercial entity to specifically editorialize is what it is,
right,
you know, take a position and recommend you do something. Can't do that in a non-commercial station, but just like Craig Folly, we can have a lot of opinions out there, you know. So there you go. Okay. But that council meeting is good. And Patch.com talked about the Dearborn Historical Museum this week on Tuesday also. That's where I got that $59,000 and that there's $800,000 in the Lizzie. Did I say Lillian? It's Lizzie Ross.
Oh.
Fund, it's called, anyway.
You said Lillian, yeah.
I know.
Or Marion.
Yeah, get calls on that. Okay. And, of course, which candidates are in favor of funding for the museum? It's worthwhile mentioning this. Colette Richards,
mm-hmm,
we've interviewed her. She's a local activist. Mike Cerini, who's big-time campaign, has now generated, at least for my house in East Dearborn, 3 glossy postcards, picture postcards, full color for him. I've never seen any candidate in the history of Dearborn have 3 mailings, all glossy postcards. This cost a fortune.
They're oversized postcards. They're the big ones,
I've
right?
I've got them right here. Yeah. 2 of them are 5x8, and the last one, I guess they had a cut budget, only 4x6.
Oh, see.
Yeah, only 4x6.
Only.
But this cost, I don't want to estimate how much, but it's tens of thousands of dollars for those 3 mailings. And the question is, has Mike Cerini really sold those many cars? in his life. Is he getting contributions from his mom?
You have no idea. Right.
What fundraisers has he had? I think one so far.
I remember he had talked about that. Yeah, right. I just don't remember.
And you know what I think? And this is, of course, on the record because we're on the radio. But I think there is money from other people in government who would like to see Ted Tufalsky not be the head of the council anymore.
Considering his name is Tom, you're probably...
I'm sorry, Tom. There we go again. Well, Ted will not be head of the
for
council,
sure.
No matter what.
That's
he won't be.
Go on record.
He's gone. But Tom Tufalsky, because if the head of the council, who can control the agenda somewhat, you know, he's the one that's the MC, master
right.
of ceremonies, and so how he voices issues and how he handles the debates and what he finds in order or out of order, if he has to make a Robert's Rules of Order ruling or something, that's significant power. And, of course, it's the largest vote-getter for council. Doesn't have to be a majority, but the largest vote-getter, the plurality, if you will, they are the chair of the council meetings, council president, so-called, okay? And we know that Mike Cerini got the number two most votes in the primary.
But
after Tom.
After Tom/Ted. Yeah. I think you can agree, you and I can agree, that the numbers that came out for the primary don't reflect nearly what will come out.
No, it'll be a completely different mix.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, because of the name recognition, there are some people that don't even know that Suzanne Cerini is not running, and they voted for Cerini for years and years.
That's probably the case.
And, you know, I mean, that's a mistake, and I'm sorry for those people. If they think it's the same person, it's not. It's a different person. Yeah, there's genetic connection, but...
Well, he did say he agreed with a lot of what his mother...
But he, as we know from the interview, big supporter of Mayor O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 100%, 99%, but big supporter. He is the only, I think, council candidate... Check me if I'm wrong on this, Abraham is the other one that has specific support for Mayor O'Reilly in their campaign brochures.
So it would make sense that they would be in support of O'Reilly.
Well, of course. O'Reilly's not going to support someone who's not in favor in general of his policies. And I just think that Cerini, you know, politics is power. Power comes from money. And, you know, I think there's a big campaign to make him president of the council. And because of his good showing in the primary, I think he got a bunch more money.
Yeah.
Because they just want to solidify what they think is his high vote getting. So we'll see how that works out for him. I'm sure he's going to make his case. He gave a very good presentation on this show of what he believed in, a very articulate gentleman. I also have to say that since it was just last week, many of the candidates were extremely articulate. Sharon Domage.
Oh,
Domage.
She
wants to have me say Domage.
Domage.
She was extremely articulate and precise. I'm not. And I just hadn't talked to her in a while, and it just struck me that she is so much more articulate, well, than I was in the hot weather after 5 hours out there.
We did brush shoulders with her at the homecoming, but she didn't come back, so that was basically that was the reading.
In an interview there.
But before that, I think the last time was when she was in studio for her prior run for council, which would have been several years ago.
This is not the first time she's tried for the spot.
No, she was impressive, yes.
But I in terms of stating very well, she has those 22 years, and this is not an endorsement, folks,
no,
but 22
facts.
Years on the Dearborn Board of Ed, and also, therefore, heading up Henry Ford Community College. And really, she was a great fact-checker and well-researched. And so she has that experience for people to make note of. Haven't got a mailing from her. So many candidates have not gotten a mailing to me, but it's still a month to go. Although, folks, at the end of next week, the absentee ballots will go out.
That's right.
1 month ahead. And if you're not registered by the end of next week, maybe they'll give you an extra day, but if you're not registered to vote yet, if you haven't voted yet in Dearborn or anywhere, you need to get to your city hall before the end of next week, certainly, because it's November 5th, and what is Friday next week? 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So October 4th. So definitely you can register to vote for the November election in whatever town you happen to live in, by getting to your city hall and go to the city clerk's office with various ID and get registered. And you can also, but you can't do it after next Friday, but then after next Friday or the following Monday, you can start absentee balloting.
Right. I talked to Janet Badalow last week, and she was just getting her flyer together, and I think that's going out next week. Mm-hmm. I would think so. Now, you said you got three, but some of those were before the primary.
No.
No? This is all since August?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Look at these.
No kidding.
I just threw them at him.
He threw them right at my face. And there's a picture of Mike.
And they all came through the mail. Now, also, I got the only other one, and I'm in East Dearborn down by the Dearborn Post Office down there, folks, was Steve Dubkowski. The whole mailing just for Stephen, who we interviewed on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, yes, he was a relative from my first marriage. But the point is, he actually hired a fellow to go door to door and drop these off. So we saved money by not using the post office, but all of the Serini things went through the post office, which cost a ton more.
Yep.
So, and I know Stephen he's pretty much retired, semi-retired, I guess he might say, but...
You're mistaken. This isn't smaller.
Okay, one was
actually
a folded.
Bigger.
I didn't open it up.
How much bigger it is.
It's a foldy. So it's actually bigger than the others. So.
And that was the last one.
And that's Serini's campaign, at least in West Dearborn.
Yeah. It'd
be interesting to know, since Dubkowski only, and money is not limitless, they don't have to blanket all of Dearborn.
Mm-mm.
You know, if they think they need more support or they want to solidify support in an area, then they will do more mailings, perhaps, or one mailing, like Dubkowski's handout here.
That's the beautiful thing about bulk mail, which I'm sure they utilized, because you can get as specific as the last four digits after your common zip code. It's real specific. You know, and for people that know, I think we did the Serini interview, I want to say July 26th, though. If you go on our show's podcast, I think that's right there.
Yep.
I don't know why I remember that. I think it was the last one before the primary, that's why. All right,
I've got it here. Okay, I'm opening up my calendar since Dennis had to mention it.
Jay and his planners. Here. Might as well put them to use.
Oh, my good. Look at all these people we've interviewed.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Well, as I said,
you're a heck of a producer.
It's all on the website. Okay, we'll just start back in April. If you want to hear a whole hour of Mayor O'Reilly, that was on the 19th of April.
Yep.
So 4/19, Mayor O'Reilly. And just it's the annual sort of hour that we give him. It wasn't campaigning then,
sure.
But he does explain pretty much everything. George Durrani, who is not up for re-election this fall, was on the 26th of April, 4/26. On the 21st of, that was Jackie Lovejoy of the Consul. She's not running for it. But Jane Ahern and Mo Barrow, who didn't make the cut.
Mo didn't, but Jane did.
Right. That's the 28th of June. So 6/28, Jane Ahern. President Jensen, we had here July 19th. Colette Richards. And Mike Serini were both on 7/26.
I can't believe I remembered that.
Mm-hmm, 7/26. And then we had, at Dearborn Homecoming, we had Patrick Melton,
mm-hmm.
who was still in the running, and Steve Dubkowski. That's on the August 2nd show. That is 8/2, Melton and Dubkowski. And since then, we've had Domage last week.
Yeah. So we have Susan DiBaggia is still, she's a challenger that we have not had. I did speak with her. Of course, we had Tarek Baydoun scheduled, but something came up, so we'll still keep after him. And then the challenger for mayor as well, Mr. Binkley.
We're going to move to the two comments from Jim Hightower right now. One is about fracking. And you say, well, I don't think that hydrofracking, as it literally is a good way to get natural gas. Most people who are reasonable know that there's all kinds of problems with it almost every time they try to do it. But there's, Jim is bringing up an additional problem about fracking. If it does happen, there's an additional danger that other people aren't talking about. So it also may sway you on this issue. And a comment from him about rich people stealing. If you could believe that. Here we go. Jim Hightower, our friendly progressive populist out of Austin, Texas.
As the people of Colorado are presently learning,
It's horrendous enough to suffer the ravages of a natural disaster, but it's doubly horrific to then be faced with a more devastating, unnatural disaster. First came the epic floods that recently ripped through the Front Range, tearing up towns, roads, waterways, mountain homes and businesses, farms and lives. Just awful. But now comes the added horror of unknown levels of poisonous contaminants pouring out of many of the thousands of fracking sites that pock this area. Big oil frackers were already notorious in Boulder and Weld counties for the environmental, health, and economic damage being done by this ravaging method of forcing gas out of rock deep under Earth's surface. Now, though, the corporate wells, tanks, ponds, and all the other parts of their fracking infrastructure have been swamped by a tsunami of floodwater and destructive debris. Even in the chaos of people scrambling to get out of the flood's way and to secure their property, many residents were so alarmed by seeing this mess of flooded wells, overturned tanks of highly toxic chemicals and wastewater, and ruptured lines that they paused to take pictures and videos. They then posted these on websites and Facebook pages to document this unexpected threat of widespread long-term damage from fracking contaminants and to alert neighbors to the danger. This is Jim Hightower saying, after all, the frackers themselves were not telling the public about this unfolding disaster. The big media outlets were curiously incurious about it, and regulators were also silent. So, like the pamphleteers of old, the people formed their own network of communication, and they've now turned it into a citizens' action network. To see some of their photos, videos, and actions, go to www.facebook.com/East Boulder County United.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
It doesn't take an economics degree to grasp the ugliness in the following statistics. Since the Great Recession supposedly ended in 2009, the incomes of the elite 1%ers have soared by a third, while the incomes of everyone else, the 99%, have barely budged, ticking up by less than one half of 1%. What we have here is the revenge of the robber barons. Like the old barons, today's moneyed powers have taken such control of both the economy and government policy that practically every dime and dollar flows uphill to those at the top. With their ability to get government subsidies, jack up stock prices, and hold down jobs and wages, the infamous 1% has siphoned off 95% of all the income gains America has generated since 2009. In fact, the richest one-tenth of 1% grabbed 60% of that income. Not since the Roaring Twenties has the gap between the really rich and the rest of us been so extreme. This divide is widening, thanks to the avarice of such sorry outfits as International Paper. Early in September, IP spent $1.5 billion to buy back its own stock, plus announcing a dividend hike of 17%. Both maneuvers will further enrich IP's already super-rich big shareholders, a group that just happens to include its top executives. One day later, those same executives announced the dismissal of 1,100 workers and the shutdown of an Alabama paper mill. Longtime, loyal, hardworking employees, plus their families and their local communities, were dumped in the ditch of plutocratic greed to provide more money for the 1%. And Washington just smiles, bizarrely calling for more tax breaks for the rich, as though nothing is amiss in our land of equal opportunity. This is Jim Hightower saying, you don't need a PhD to see the ROB in this.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And we're making waves on the WHFR Journal right now until 2 o'clock when Joanne Korchinska comes in with the Artist Spotlight Highway 61 Blues Show. So four big, big artists each for an hour each that we're going to be featuring today. That should be exciting. Talk about in-depth. Okay.
This is my favorite theme or special that we do is Artist Spotlight because mm-hmm. I can get to know more intimately some of the artists that I'd never even heard of before.
Several artists I found out that committed suicide.
Oh, man.
and the notes that they had left behind. We'd give all this information.
You meant in previous, not since they've honored.
No, this week. Our DJs have been going in depth, but some of it I don't really want to know.
Exactly.
Play another song. I don't.
I like the music.
I don't want to know. They were so depressed they had to commit suicide, you know. But it doesn't make the music better for me.
No.
To know that. Oh, well. Okay, so a couple of additional issues here. One thing about paid parking, then, of course, that was a question that came up, and we've been asking candidates, in fact, on the journal here, where do you stand on paid parking, or at least the parking towers in West Dearborn, which are basically unused. So, on the at the event Monday night, this last Monday night, at City Council Chambers of the 13 candidates for office who were there, not Shoshanian. First of all, Tarek Baydoun, who has not been able to get to our show yet, he said, we need to eliminate paid parking in all of West Dearborn. That's pretty definite. That's what he wants. And he went on to say he'd also like to see the city offer more tax incentives for new businesses. And I think he's thinking of one. I know he's thinking of one that he'd like to have here in Dearborn. But incumbent Dave Bazzi, who's president of Kenwall Steel, who's getting $1.2 million of tax incentives already, pointed out, and this is interesting that the number comes up again, he said, sure, we can get rid of paid parking. If we eliminate all paid parking, we still have to come up with $1.2 million from the general budget, which means pools, libraries, historical museums, someone is going to suffer. Or all of them, I guess. That was his direct quote from this event. Well,
he's saying is $1.2 million is what they're collecting from all of them.
That's what it seems like, what's coming up from paid parking budget. The issue for me, though, is that they're also paying those people that are in the booths collecting the money. So their salaries,
sure.
That's probably minimum wage.
Hourly, but still, yeah.
Well, but so is that what they need money for, too? I know that the parking towers are not paid for yet. They were still paying,
right,
like bond money or whatever for the original construction, which, was it $10 million total or $10 million each?
I don't know. I forget.
Well, Dennis and I, we started talking here during Jim Hightower, because we've already heard Jim Hightower, his commentary, or wouldn't share it with you, right? Well, it comes out. In a year, $1.2 million, it means the city of Dearborn somehow, according to his comments here, collects $3,288 a day from the parking fees.
And I just realized that our math was wrong because they do not charge for parking on holidays or Sundays. So take out at least 52 days plus holidays.
Okay. So
that's even more money they assume to collect.
How is that possible? Where is all the money coming? I'd like to see it. Which parking tower is getting the most money? I bet it's the one right next to City Hall.
There's no charge.
You got to have people coming to City Hall
to
work
there. There's no charge for
that. Oh, they don't charge the workers?
No, and they don't charge across the street at the town center health
place.
There was that's free parking by City Hall.
Oh. Well, they're not making money on that, so which lots are coming up with this over $3,300 of money per day? Or more, if we redo the math, but I put my calculator away.
You know, and there's a lot of times those are unmanned parking. In other words, you get your ticket and then you put your money in when you're leaving.
Well, yeah, this probably includes meters.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I don't mean just meters. I mean in the parking structures. I think they always, not structures, but in the lots, they always do. They have somebody there when I'm ready to leave.
Okay. Well, still, it's messy. And there are trying. City Council, in its wisdom, they've put in place a new six-month pilot program aimed at encouraging more parking at the West Dearborn parking decks. They say parking deck. Well, there's two of them, but nonetheless. But Dennis and I couldn't figure out what the new rate is. It's supposed to be less, but it says between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., vehicles will be charged a $1 flat rate for the first 2 hours, and then 50 cents an hour afterwards. Well, I thought it was just 50 cents an hour anyway. There's no freebie period. So how is this different? They don't say here in the story from Patch. And then they say from 4 p.m. until 4 a.m., vehicles will be charged a flat rate of $2. So that would be good if you're going to go to a night out in West Dearborn.
Sure.
Just $2, pay up front. I assume you pay up front.
We grab a ticket.
That's good. But then it says, and that during that period there will be a validation rate of 50 cents for 2 hours. Well, validation, does that mean credit from some establishment? But how can you go and have a leisurely dinner in less than 2 hours?
Right.
And or shop? You know, that doesn't
or go to a fundraiser.
So I can't figure out the story, but it's going to, whatever the crazy rate is or rates are, that's going to be the next 6 months at the parking decks.
We should just go. We'll find out when we go.
And if you have an electric car, you know, they've got a couple free places to charge up there. You know, I don't, two or three maybe at most. And there's no extra charge for the charging.
At the decks or at City Hall? Because at City Hall there are a couple as well.
Right. There's also a couple in the parking lot of the Centennial Library.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit crazy. Another couple crazy things from your city council at work that will probably be in the Press and Guide this weekend, but in Patch.com already. City Council delays the vote on the garage ordinance in Dearborn. Why do you think, Dennis? Let's see how quick you are. It was supposed to be finalized, I think, this last Tuesday.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this is an election year.
That's it. Yeah. They didn't want to go on record this far in advance so that the word would spread that one of the incumbents are against your use of your garage any way you want to. And I just know that it would go out and go viral, whoever the ones are that would vote it in favor. Remember that it did pass the first reading unanimous. All the incumbents voted for the new garage ordinance, use ordinance, which definitely would forbid any sort of living in the garage or bathrooms or cooking.
And I don't think at that point they thought it would become such a hot issue. I really don't think they'd think it was so controversial, because if that were the case, they would have tabled it from the beginning.
Well, you politically, you always play it safe.
Or so taking it off the table.
You're going to delay this just enough so that maybe you'll make a decision later in October, but maybe the word wouldn't get around so much that you might lose the election because of it. I know there's people in my neighborhood, and I live in a very upper-class neighborhood, not me, but I'm poor teacher and retired, but just barely making bills. But and I've got some people say, well, it's just a lower-class thing where you use your garage for parties. No, I've got people that have fantastically adapted their huge garages to party places and socializing times and so on.
So based on that sample in your own neighborhood, would you say that it's not strictly a cultural thing as well? Or is it... In other words, the people...
I don't care if it is cultural or not. It does appear, I'm sorry, and this sounds racist or biased, it does appear to be Arabic cultured people that are doing it. It's not that I see hookahs or whatever.
No.
But, it's not the old-timers like myself who have been here as an immigrant for, you know, and family for 100 years. But it's a different sort of culture, obviously. But it could catch on with anybody. I mean, why not? I think the health and safety issues are paramount here, and that's the primary reason for this. The property value thing can't be... you can't use that as a basis for this. If a lot of people have the cars on their driveways, it looks... lower class, and therefore to bring down the value of your neighborhood when resale time comes.
Right.
And I don't think that can be proven.
But with 30% of the city...
Especially if your cars are all Mercedes-Benz and Audis and
that'll
my neighborhood.
That'll help your value, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Look at my fancy, expensive car.
Exactly. Yeah. So if 30% of the city is, in fact, of Arabic descent, and many of those registered voters, it would seem like this is a real hot topic. That was what I was getting at.
Absolutely. No. Wow. They want to diffuse this, and I wouldn't be surprised... If for that reason,
it's delayed till after.
It says any action on the ordinance will take place at a full council meeting, likely in October, but not necessarily October, because I think they'll wait until it's safe to run after the election.
And that would be November 12th.
Right, that's a week after the election. Is that their meeting date? Tuesday after the election.
Second
that's
Tuesday.
Right.
How perfect.
Tuesday. Right.
Mm-hmm. But no, they meet on Mondays, don't they?
Jeez.
I'm sorry. So the 11th or the 12th. So you heard it here. That's our prediction.
Yeah.
I think they meet on...
No, it says Tuesday night.
Okay.
Well, at least this week it was final reading. The ordinance was Tuesday night, but they tabled it.
Okay.
So you know how those tables are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hide stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. And what else did they do in their wisdom? You want to know.
I want to know.
Was this Tuesday also? Yeah, it's also on Tuesday, but the story, I guess... with lower amount of staff at thepatch.com, it takes an extra day to write the next story. You can't do more than one story a day. Besides, you have to have something to put on the website each day.
Sure.
So you sort of eke out the story so there's always a headline. Well, anyway, and that's fine. That's okay. It's still ahead of the papers. Dearborn Council this last Tuesday voted 4-1 to approve the request of the City of Dearborn's Economic and Community Development Department to give Art Space, Art Space, who may buy City Hall, the old City Hall building. They don't have the money yet, but they say here up front, Art Space will get $250,000 out of $437,000 of low-income housing grant money administered by Wayne County.
Okay, it's by Wayne County then.
Right.
Okay.
That's, I said federal. Okay. So the remainder of the money, roughly $187,645, is that rough? That sounds pretty precise to me, will help first-time homebuyers with their purchases and low-income residents rehabilitate their houses. Who voted against it? Tom Tefelsky.
And he has been all along.
Yeah. Well, because it's Art Space and City Hall. But he said he thinks all the money would better go. I mean, Art Space is getting all these grants and $16 million. We got poor people in Dearborn, individual homes throughout the neighborhoods of Dearborn that need money to rehabilitate their homes.
Or to save their homes.
He thinks it should all go, right. And typical projects for low-income funds include home buyer assistance, that is financing acquisition, rehabilitation, or construction for home buyers, homeowner rehabilitation to repair, rehabilitate, or reconstruct your own home and or rental housing, or tenant-based rental assistance, financial assistance for rent or security deposits. Then
it's hard to argue with them, with more than half of that money going to
Rent really space. Want all the homes occupied in Dearborn. That's a safety issue,
Talk about property values going up.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know how much money you need for that, but it does, I have to say, to give Art Space when they're not even... They haven't even bought City Hall yet. You know, they haven't found the money because their big grant of $12 million or whatever from the state of Michigan hasn't come in yet.
No.
And it's not certain it will. I mean, it's not certain. I mean, they've been pretty lucky. They've said that in the other 30-plus places around the country, if they don't get the money the first time, they usually get it the second time. So there's still a second time to apply,
right,
apparently. And then after that, I don't know, we just give up and we've got a vacant building, I guess.
Yeah,
but to give Art Space $250,000 out of this money now doesn't make any sense to me.
It really doesn't.
I just don't know why it has to be done now.
Do you remember seeing a headline? And I'm kicking myself because I didn't have time to read it. I made a mental note to read it again. It may have been on the Press and Guide or Times Herald website. The headline disputed the fact that the East Dearborn Economic Authority was... providing any money at all to Art Space. Do you remember seeing that anywhere? Do you remember, was there ever any indication that
I know they gave their support for the project.
But did they ever give any money?
Don't know that.
Okay.
No, I will say that the Tuesday forum here on WHFR this week was the Impact Show. That's the fourth Tuesday of each month. And what our host, Betty Daniels, did for the show was she actually grabbed interviews from other sources done with Mike Bewick,
nice,
who's part of East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.
And the owner of
and
the
Times Herald.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a comment from Mayor O'Reilly also, and an interview, and I don't know where she picked this up, between Mayor O'Reilly when he visited an Art Space facility in Wisconsin.
Nice.
Or was it Minneapolis? Well, anyway, he went a couple states over, and he sat down with the director of Art Space there and asked specific questions like how they operate, what money is going to. And so I do recommend that to our listeners here. If you can go to WHFR.FM, click on Talk Shows, but this time click on Tuesday Forum, and this last Tuesday is the Impact Show. So that's Tuesday the 24th, okay, 9/24, and Impact Art Space. Art Space is the topic. Maybe it'll answer Dennis's question about whether or not... EDDDA.
That's what it was.
EDDDA.
With
three D's.
He thinks he's French again.
Yeah.
No, it's the East Dearborn
Downtown Development Authority.
Right. And just a quick headline said, did not give money to Art Space. So I'm going to read that later on off the air. I know we have just a couple minutes. Can I bring them up?
Okay.
In Dearborn Heights, obviously there was a big story in the paper about a pit bull attacked a poodle. As one can imagine, the city council meeting this past Tuesday, which I was unable to attend, but I did see parts of it that we recorded for our TV station and talked to Councilwoman Lisa Hicks Clayton. the full house, packed house, and as you can imagine, many, many people in favor of both sides. Please don't ban pit bulls on one side, and you don't understand how dangerous they are on the other. Mm-hmm. A decision was not made, but a lot of passionate people on both sides came out. That is on our TV station showing every day from at 3 p.m. and 3 a.m. on WDHT. And Lisa Hicks Clayton, speaking of the councilwoman, I'm interviewing her and Peggy Richard. Now, we got a chance to talk to both of them on the radio last week, but mm-hmm. this will do a half-hour TV show regarding the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, and that will air the following week, so the second week of October. Go ahead. You want to...
Well, the whole pit bull issue came up, I think, last year in Wyandotte after a similar
This has been ongoing in Dearborn Heights for more than a year, though.
Bit someone in Wyandotte. Could have been Ellen Park. But anyway, somewhere down river this came up, and it went on for months with comments from people that actually know animals, from animal shelters and so on, and veterinarians. And basically the statement is pit bulls are you know, unless they're abused or mistreated, they're not necessarily
naturally
violent.
Vicious.
They're not naturally vicious. They don't need to be banned. Certainly owners that don't control their pets, whatever they are, need to take responsibility for them.
Agreed.
But it looks like pit bulls, I mean, it's not like, you know, having a baby shark
actually,
in your pool.
Gary, you know. Gary Miyake, the corporate counsel for the city of Dearborn Heights, he did a study. He put together his own study, and he said that there's at least two vicious breeds, the pit bull and the Rottweiler, that the incidence of mishaps are so far more than any other breed that he does see that there's some merit in at least monitoring it. Anyway, as you can imagine, people came out on both sides of it. So this has been ongoing in Dearborn Heights. Yeah. And you have to remember, the city of Dearborn Heights does not have an animal control department.
Right.
They can create ordinances, but they're only as strong as them if they're enforced.
Well, who did they say? Somebody is going around enforcing.
Taylor?
No, well, they asked Taylor for a while, but then was it Janet Badalow that we asked this question about, or someone from Dearborn Heights, and the police, the fire department? Somebody is going around trying to, oh, no, it's those ordinance people.
They only have two, and I think they're both part-time.
Well, but they're enforcing pet ordinances,
well, they're,
too.
They're trying, yeah. But remember...
But what tools do they have? They got nets?
Exactly. It has to be... You have to have a vehicle.
Tranquilizer darts?
Exactly.
Or what are they?
Yeah, I mean, and this pit bull had to be put down after the first shot. And I'm not in favor... This bothered me, and I know it brings out the compassion in you. But after the first shot of the pit bull, he still kept going into a yard. Mm-hmm. They had to shoot him twice. Two more times, excuse me. So this is something, this was very serious. It was right in the neighborhood, a dog dead, two dogs dead now. And so, as you can imagine, it was off the hook crazy at the meeting. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to Lisa a little bit more about that, too.
Yeah, I would have liked to, for this show, if there was balance possible, as there should be always on the media, is to bring someone in from the Dearborn Animal Shelter that actually could speak authoritatively about this issue and about the breed of pit bulls. But you're right that certain breeds of animals, certain types of pets can be more dangerous in our society, either for their owners or for neighbors or whatever, than others. And I think there has to be a responsibility taken on the part of the owners for those pets.
Absolutely.
And after the fact, it's really sad if somebody is dead or greatly injured.
Now, two more quick hits. We're taping two more shows next week that will air the following week. The Mayor Dan Poletko show, he was interviewing Mayor O'Reilly from Dearborn. That should be interesting for a half hour. The two of them together talking is actually quite fun. Yeah. And then Roger Bushnell for his Overcoming Disability show is interviewing Janet Badalow about dementia.
And this is only for people in Dearborn Heights?
We're actually discussing opportunities to share this information with Dearborn residents as well. So that will be...
Right, but it's on your cable channel.
It's on our cable right now.
Over there?
WDHT is channel 99 on AT&T, channel 12 on WOW, and channel 10 on, what's the other one, Comcast.
Very confusing.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Listen to the podcast.
No, okay, only a couple minutes to go. Let's see if I missed anything in my list here that you must know. Oh, well, of course, and it's everywhere, so you can get this information anywhere you want to, but the Affordable Care Act begins the stage of enrollment next Tuesday. I'm sure you know about that. And I've got a great commentary here from Tucson, Arizona, from the mayor there, who put out this great one-page information. I think they have a higher percentage of retirees than even Dearborn in Tucson, by the way. And First of all, I'm just summarizing this. If you're in Medicare, that is, if you have opted for Medicare, you're of that certain age, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to change in terms of your situation. Nothing to enroll in, no choices to make. Okay? But if you want more information, healthcare.gov, healthcare.gov, and you can set up an interview with what they're calling a trained navigator or a certified application counselor. You can do it over the phone or in person. And it says the websites have helpful, easy-to-find information in a simple format. There's also a live chat function, and, of course, that's when you actually can, like, send an instant email to somebody who's monitoring their website, and they will send you an instant email back, and you don't have to go to your email account to do that. It just pops back up on your screen from the same website. So the chat option is there, too, healthcare.gov. And this is primarily if you have no health insurance right now, and your employer is not providing health care insurance, okay, you can probably afford health care for yourself as part of this program. And if you don't do it, yeah, there's a little penalty, too. Now, hopefully, all the boogeyman stuff that we've heard, boogeyman's in your closet, under your bed, and so on about this, that remains to be seen, okay? I haven't seen a boogeyman since I've been young. So a long time, or since I saw the last Stephen King movie.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. If you don't watch Stephen King movies, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. It's a new program. It's complicated, unfortunately. Ralph Nader, I have a comment here that I can't read for you in depth. This is not the best way to do universal health care. It should be like the Canadian system. Everybody gets a card in the mail. You go out. You see any doctor you want to. Okay, some big-time procedures you may have to wait a little bit for, but you get whatever drugs you want covered. You just go to your, provider and show them the card. It's all taken care of. It's all simple. Simple. Okay? Why can't our government ever do anything that's simple and good and easy for the public? There's no reason why they can't. It's just that they fool around. I could use another word there, starting with F. But they fool around, and they politic, and they want to make sure that everything is either going to turn out badly or not be as good as it should be for their own political benefit rather than what's good for the public. And that's my opinion. And, I'm a little down on our so-called politicians for being politicians and not being concerned about the public interest. But the Affordable Care Act is reform. We need the reforms. We need to cover more people. We need to be healthier and have health insurance. But this is not the right way to do it. So read Ralph Nader sometime. Google Ralph Nader, as they say.
Google Nader.
And he'll fill you in.
Now, I don't know if anybody is getting out of the Dearborn area for the weekend. South Lyons having Pumpkin Fest this weekend.
Ah.
It's free fun for the entire family.
Yeah. Don't forget Historical Museum beer tasting party tonight at McFadden Ross House in Dearborn from 5 to 11. Okay. It's time now for Highway 61. Yep. The Best in the Blues with Joanne Kay. And thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal today. Thank you to Dennis. Thank you to the Dearborn Press and Guide and Times Herald and Patch.com for their continued journalistic work. And we'll catch you next week. Be careful out there. WHFR, Dearborn.